We shall turn again to the part of God's Word that we read together, the book of Psalms and Psalm 30. And we will read at verse 5. Psalm 30 at verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The title of this psalm says that it is at the dedication of the house of David. A psalm and song at the dedication of the house of David. And it seems that this psalm was written when David had received the kingdom and he enjoyed rest from his enemies. He built his house of cedar, a palace, and it would doubtless have been dedicated according to the provision set forth in Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 5, where we read in that book and in that chapter, "And the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, What man is there that hath built a new house and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate it." So clearly the new houses in the Old Testament times were to be dedicated. And while we may not do that in our day, certainly we should ask the Lord's blessing if we enter a new dwelling. If we move house, we should ask the Lord's blessing upon it. And our whole house should be devoted to the Lord. Our household should be devoted to God. As for me and my house, Joshua says, we will serve the Lord. Now, others say that this psalm refers to the occasion when David had numbered the people in his pride, and the Lord was chastising him by sending the pestilence. We read here that there was he was very distressed, and the Lord healed him. And the context would seem to fit that occasion. The psalm seems to fit the context there that we read of in 1 Chronicles chapter 20 and 21. In David's prosperity, as he sat on his throne, he looked around him and he thought he was prosperous, and indeed he was. He said he would not be moved, and he numbered the people in his pride. Well, in chastisement, the Lord hid his face, and David experienced the Lord's displeasure. But the Lord did not continue to manifest his anger. He again comforted David, his servant. And so when David repents of his pride, and he offers a sacrifice, he says, and we read this in chapter 22, actually, of 1 Chronicles, and verse 1, "This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel." And so some people link that verse in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 1, they link that verse to the title here in our psalm, a psalm and song at the dedication of the house by David. Well, that might be ingenious. It may be correct. So for various reasons, commentators are divided because of the grammar, because of the context, the historical background. But after looking at the different views of the possible occasion for the writing of this psalm, I myself keep going back again and again to the view that seems most natural, which is to take it as it is in the English translation, a psalm and song at the dedication of the house of David, his house, his palace. Well, one thing is clear, and that is that this psalm describes the experience of a child of God. David was in distress. He felt God was hiding his face from him. And he prays earnestly to the Lord. And he comes to find out that the Lord is very gracious. He will not always chide nor keep his anger still. And we read in our text, "For his anger endureth but a moment," just a moment. "In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, just a short time, it's quickly over, but joy cometh in the morning." Well, tonight, with the Lord's help, we wish to consider this truth, this doctrine, and this experience that sometimes God hides his face from his dear children. That is the truth of God's word. It's the experience of God's people. Sometimes God hides his face from his people. And secondly, we want to consider that God's people pray for the return of God's presence. David cries, verse 8, "I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication." Verse 10, "Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper." He wishes God's face to shine upon him. Well, next time, the Lord willing, we would like to look at the precious, comforting truth that God's withdrawal from his people is short-lived, for his anger endureth but a moment, just a moment, and the Lord returns. He will manifest himself to his people again. And finally, on another occasion, if it's the Lord's will, perhaps we can retrace the steps of David more closely as to his deliverance from this low point in his life, from mourning to dancing, from prayer to praise, from the hiding of God's face to the shining of God's face. "Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." But for now, with the Lord's help, these two points. First, the hiding of God's face from his people. And secondly, the prayer for the return of God's presence. The hiding of God's face from his people, and then the prayer for the Lord's return, and that he would lift up the light of his countenance upon his people. Well, our text is verse 5, "For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." And we take more notice of the words following, verses 6 and 7. "And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled." And verse 8, "I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication." He was weeping because he felt the Lord had hid his face from him. Well, that's the truth that we meet with again and again in God's word. That is, that there are times when God hides his face from his dear people. What is the hiding of his face? What does it really mean? Well, think of this. If someone turns their face away from you, it makes you feel that they don't like you. If they turn their face away from you, it may be because they're angry with you. And so, when we are told that God hides his face from his people, it means that they feel that he is far away from them, and that they feel that he is even angry with them. That's what they feel. When God hides his face from his people, they do not feel his presence. They do not feel his comforts. God is not shining on them with his face. God is hiding his face from them. Now we quickly point out that God's people will never fall from grace. Their state is certain. Their salvation is secure. And it's impossible to change back from a state of nature from a state of grace into a state of nature. It's impossible to go back to a lost state. God's people will never perish. They are adopted into the family of God, and they are loved with an unchangeable love. But as to their experience, what they feel, they have their ups and downs. Sometimes they feel near the Lord, sometimes they feel distant from the Lord. And it is their wisdom to recognize this, to recognize that whatever they experience or feel, the love of God to them never changes. It has no fluctuation, no reverse. God's love is unchangeable. Now, why does God sometimes hide his face from his people? Well, I will try to give three reasons as it occurs to me. The first is because of God's people's carnal security and spiritual sloth. God may hide his face from his people to correct them out of carnal security that it seemed David had in this psalm. Perhaps when things were quiet in his kingdom and his enemies were not giving him much trouble, David was giving in to self-satisfaction, perhaps. We read verse 6, "And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved." The word prosperity seems to suggest security, even to the extent of self-confidence. So David, even while he acknowledges that it was God that gave him this stability in his kingdom, yet it seems that David began to be a bit too comfortable and began to take for granted that he would always enjoy prosperity, and he began to fall into security and self-confidence. And the result was, God hid his face from him. "Thou didst hide thy face." It's like what we read in the book of the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, where we read there, the believer says, "I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, Open to me, my sister, my love, my love. Beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. And that was the result of carnal security, spiritual sloth, the withdrawal of the presence of Christ to his people. The church says, "My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer." So the Lord sometimes hides his face from his people to stir them up to seek him more diligently. Now, another reason why the Lord sometimes hides his face from his people and they do not feel his presence is because of a particular sin, and he is chastising them for their sin. Like David in Psalm 32, when he had committed a great sin, and he was not willing to admit it, He was not rending his heart and confessing his sin to God. What was the result? It was a suspension of communion with God. God hid his face from David. Now, God's people can never fall from the state of justification. They are always, once they believe in Christ, they are justified. They are not condemned. But they may fall under God's fatherly displeasure. As a father will always love his son, but when the son is not behaving himself, that child, that son, may expect the father to frown at him. I'm sure the children have experienced that. The father looks down at the child with an angry face. Does that mean the father has stopped loving the child? No. But the father is displeased with the child's behavior. So the little children and God's children need to confess their sin and humble themselves and beg for pardon and renew their faith and repentance, and God will lift up the light of his countenance upon them. So those are two reasons why God sometimes hides his face from his people. Because of their carnal security, and to deliver them from that. And secondly, because of their particular sin. And another reason, a third reason tonight, is he hides his face from them sometimes in order to try them and to make their grace to shine. He tries them and he makes their grace to shine. Remember Job. We read that God had hid his face from him, as well as allowing Satan to distract him, to bring him through a physical pain. Well, Job was severely tried, and he says in chapter 23 and verse 3, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." Yes, Job felt that God had withdrawn himself from Job. He didn't know where God was, so to speak. And we in verse 8, Job says, "Behold, I go forward, but he is there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. Left hand, where he doth work, I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him." So Job felt God had withdrawn. God was hiding himself from Job. That was his experience. That's faith. And God was trying him. And the end result was his face was shined. Verse 10, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Gold shot, great shot." And Job heard, and the Lord returned to him. And it became very clear that Job was a righteous man, whose patience was paid. So God sometimes hides his face from his people, try them, loves for their sin, and to deliver them from carnal security. And there are times, no doubt, when God may hide himself from his people for reasons that are known only to himself. Because God is sovereign and God is holy, and we are to praise God as he is glorious, as he is wonderful, and as he is incomprehensible. "And thou, by searching, find out God. His ways are past finding out. God is sovereign." Well, have you considered the fact that God sometimes hides his face from his people? Let's go on to the second place to consider the prayer for the return of God's presence. The prayer for the return of God's presence. Now, face from his people. It's as if God is angry with them. Sometimes they feel that God is angry with them. And that is what David says. His anger, it speaks of his anger, endures but for a moment. The children of God feel sometimes that they are deserted. God has left them. God has abandoned them. And it is true that the feelings they have are sometimes different. They may describe it to one another in different ways. But one thing is certain, and one thing is true of all of God's people when it comes to the hiding of God's face. And what is that? They cannot bear it. They cannot bear it. And they pray for a reversal of it. They pray that God would no longer hide his face from them. David says in verse 7, "Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled." Thou didst hide thy face. What is the result? What happens after God hides his face from David? David says, "I'm troubled." A very strong word. I was disturbed. I was dismayed. Yes, I was alone when God hid his face from me. I couldn't bear it. I did not feel comfortable. I felt troubled. So God's people feel when God hides his face from them, they feel they have no life. They feel almost dead. They feel their life is not what it should be. And they feel that when God hides his face from them, that they have no life in their prayers. They have no life in their praises. It's all dry. And they feel it to be intolerable. They cannot bear it. And they do not want the hiding of God's face to continue. And they desire God to return. And so they are praying, "Lift up the light of thy countenance upon me. Lord, shine on us with thy face, and so we shall be saved." And we sang in Psalm 27 in verse 9, "Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." Well, David feels that God is not nearby, God has left him. Or he's at least worried about that, that God may leave him. Sometimes God's people are very tender, and they think, "Well, I sinned, and now I'm going to grieve the Spirit. He's going to leave me now." Well, David doesn't, the thought of that, he cannot bear it. And so David prays that God would not forsake him. And even if he does feel that God is not nearby, David will not give up seeking the Lord, because he knew where to go. He had experienced God's help before. And he will seek God's face above all things. Are you seeking God's face above all things? Psalm 27 and verse 8, "When thou saidst, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." Well, the Psalms throughout have reference to God hiding his face from his people and the Lord's people praying that he would return. Psalm 102 and verse 2. "Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily." They cannot tolerate God hiding his face from them. They can't endure it even for a few moments. "Come to me speedily." And indeed, the psalmist knew that nothing was by chance. He felt God had hid his face from him. It's not by accident. Nothing that we go through is by chance. And when we feel like this, well, we have one place to go. When we feel the Lord has withdrawn himself, He is not near in our experience. We should immediately pray. The child of God should immediately pray, shine on me with thy face. Psalm 143, verse 7. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like a dead man. Go down into the pit. Feels like a dead man. The Lord does not come to him and lift up life. So in our prayers, God's face. your experience that you are under the fierce anger of God. That is not just how you feel, that is fact. And there is one direction that we give you, and that is to flee from the wrath to come, and think of the great mercy of God. The mercy of God to you, in revealing to you not only the wrath to come, but the good news of the gospel. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And so you, friend, pray earnestly that Christ would be made precious to you, that the good news would be good news to you, and that you would receive the gift of God, and you would receive Christ, and rest on Him, and trust in Him, and find relief in Him for the salvation of your soul. And pray that He would shine on you with His face, and that you would receive life forevermore in His favor, His life, real life, life that will never end. In, for His anger endureth but a moment, in His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. May He bless His word. Let us pray.